Philippong with Humble and Fred Legends, brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and Dewar, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. Today we look back at February 23rd, 2012. On that edition, Jim McKenney, hockey and broadcasting legend, our Kells perform, our friends Scary Pete and Jason Kinder are in, discussing why Jesus Christ and mice are almighty. That's a great discussion. As well, the famous Humble and Fred billboard on the Gardener, you're going to love that story, as well as angry hockey parody songs. There's more than one. Before we continue, a couple of important messages.
I can't wait till you get your Dewar, D-U-E-R, pants. Get your pants on. They are the world's most comfortable pants. And now we got some. Dewar Denim has the five times the stretch of traditional denim and doesn't compromise on style. Phil, you are going to look good in your galactic T-shirt. I think that was the brand, yes. The technical performance fabric woven into Dewar's denim keeps you cool when temperatures are hot and warm when things get chilly. The pants are breathable, lightweight, and durable, allowing you to look great and move freely. Phil, you know you need to move freely when Phil does... What's that?
Want to move freely!
Move freely! Dewar is proudly Canadian, also prides itself as being sustainable. Many of their products, this is amazing, are made from natural materials like plants and eucalyptus trees, and some pants are using sustainable fibers from wood chips, plants, and recycled plastic bottles. So there you go. Look good and do good. Look good, Phil, and do good. Use the code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off your next order at DUER.ca. That's Dewar.ca. Look good, do good, feel good. And use promo code HumbleFred15 for 15% off your next order.
Bodog.eu/sports. Go there. Lots of fun. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling and entertainment. From their industry-leading odds and world-class sportsbook and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, it's all there. They've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gambling experience since 1994. Hey,
Bodog.eu/sports.
This is Humble and Fred.
And now, we're about to begin. Again.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
You don't get that everywhere, by the way. You don't get the strength or strength of street knowledge just from any, you know, show. You get it from HumbleAndFredRadio.com. That's where we are. That's where you are. We're here today to say hello, and wherever you listen to us around the planet, we wish you the best of this February...
Day. Yeah, what a nice opening soliloquy.
What February day is it, buddy?
23.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's 23. This time next week, it'll almost be March.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ in a handbasket.
Jesus Christ Almighty.
Do you remember that? Jesus Christ Almighty, mouse ran up my nighty, bit my tit.
Made me shit.
Jesus Christ Almighty.
Yeah, you got her.
And now we begin.
Humble and Fred destroy commercial radio.
You're fired.
Now they're back to wreck the internet. It's HumbleAndFredRadio.com. Now back with more blah 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 yak. And I think I just shit myself a little. Here are
we were really happy with the visit yesterday. Thing is recording.
Oh, is it?
In fact, what a great way to say, Jim Carr, sleep well, dear man. Jim Carr from, what college is Seneca?
Seneca College.
Seneca College. He runs radio for Seneca College, but he came in yesterday and he reconfigured a few things here.
Mm-hmm.
And all these cables that connect everything are now professionally installed. And what a revelation.
Mm-hmm. You know, Seneca is my alma mater.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, if you go into Seneca College, right in the front foyer, there's a bust of me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes.
I would like to go and violate it. I would like to violate the bust of Fred Patterson. I would be caught at night some ne'er-do-well. Scallywag. By the way, you guys weren't here a couple seconds ago when we opened the program with one of the great Humble and Fred poems.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Was it sexual?
It was Jesus Christ Almighty and Most Ran Up My Nighty.
Oh.
It bit my tit and made me shit.
Jesus Christ Almighty.
Okay. Is this something from the old days?
Yeah, we did.
Oh.
We used to do
the Old Testament.
From the Old Testament.
The Old Testament.
There you go.
I do believe that's a story my kids tell. My sister Nancy used to say that to my kids when they were tiny.
That's funny.
As well. Nice, eh?
We would have been killed.
Nice influence.
I think that would be really funny if, in fact, you could go to the Old Testament and find that.
The Old Testament, because Jesus wasn't there yet.
Exactly. See? In the Old Testament, he was prophesized.
Yeah.
And one day a young man will have a mouse run up his nightie.
Amen.
How do you get to Amen, brother.
No. How do you get to the point where you know the difference in what's in one testament as opposed to the other? I know nothing.
I was raised in I went to Catholic boys' school.
Yeah.
That's how he knows, and I know because Old Testament is all Jewified.
Jewish, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're a student of religion.
Exactly. Right? And Old Testament's the Jewy.
Yes.
And as I always say, you know,
the Jewy,
and the New Testament's the sequel. And outside of The Godfather 2, there's never been a good sequel. Pete.
Oh, well.
Sorry, Pete.
He tried.
And in the Old Testament, it's Moses, Abraham, and David, gefilte fish, came with the claven.
Mm-hmm.
It took my yarmulke and bit my foreskin.
Mm-hmm.
Moses, Abraham, and David.
Written by Avi.
Written by Avi Schenkter. Avi Schenkter. What are you showing me?
I don't mind the
billboard. That's not actually up there.
My stepson just came back from Dundas this morning, and he sent me a text saying, at Exhibition Station.
Come on.
Well, no, why not? Why wouldn't it be?
And you said
the billboard's up?
Oh, look at Howard. I think you're
look
getting
it. Look at it, man. He took it from the GO train.
What the fuck?
Let's see.
Did you know about this?
No.
I didn't know it was going to go up this quickly.
I know they got the artwork, but I didn't know it was going
to go up. That's what I said.
What idiot? Look how shiny we
are. Oh, we got to get that bastard on
Did
the website.
Did you see that?
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And it's the
where was it?
Fred Billboard Exhibition Station.
Exhibition Station. Yeah. You know where the Gardner platform is.
Can you see it from the Gardner?
Yeah.
Do these guys deliver or what?
You can have sex.
I didn't realize it was going to go up right away. We have a billboard.
I haven't even cut the check.
Dude, I think that's
the billboard. I haven't even cut the check for the artwork
check
yet.
Check it. What? Check.
It's up before you pay the money. That's perfect.
No, exactly. I don't recall you saying we had to pay you money.
What money?
What
bullshit?
Your barter account's waiting.
That's right. Holy crap, man.
Now that's cool. I got to go there just to... You know what?
Well, we're going downtown. Well, you're coming with me downtown tomorrow afternoon.
Well, Saturday, why don't we have a picnic in front of it?
Oh, uh-huh. I know what we'll do. We'll get some sandwiches and you'll bust. We'll get Freddy's bust from Seneca and we'll pet it like a baby dog.
That can be your first step into threesomes. My bust.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if I was having a threesome with your bust, I couldn't.
You could take your bust to the Aqua Lounge.
Oh, that's right.
Nice.
I will go. I will go to the Aqua Lounge wearing Fred's bust on my head.
Bukkake.
Kakak. Oh, yeah. Let's get it all out, kids, before Jim McKinney gets in here. Former Maple Leaf, Minnesota North Star, Jim McKinney, Howie from City TV. He's our guest in a few minutes' time. Also on the show, how about the Arkells?
Woo!
Arkells, everybody. Arkells on the show today. Arkells, man. Yeah, I really should have rebooted the computer before I started because that little skip you hear once in a while is just because it's... This needs to be refreshed.
Oh, the band didn't do that? That wasn't the band?
No.
I'm skipping.
You say, Fred says the Arkells, but I looked online, it's simply Arkells.
Okay. You know, I think it's one of those bare naked lady things. People say the bare naked ladies, but their official name is bare naked ladies. We can ask the guys when they come in.
If their official name is the bare naked
but
ladies?
But any reference I've ever made to them has been the Arkells. And
hey guys,
no one's punched me.
No. Mm-hmm.
Someone might, if they get upset, if we ask them if they're the bare naked ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention that the Academy Awards Award-nominated movies are The Artist, never saw it. The Artist, never saw it, never will see it.
Oh.
The Descendants, would like to see it. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, never heard of it.
That's Tom the Hanks. Tom Hanks of the 9/11 movie,
okay,
where he dies and the kid goes on a scavenger hunt or
something. I would love to see that then.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that's been released in wide release yet, has
Oh,
it?
Yeah. It's been out for forever.
Oh, I didn't know it was wide release.
I don't think so.
Yes, it's been out for a long time.
I just didn't know it was wide release. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
The
okay.
Help, saw it, loved it. Thought it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Hugo, not into it. Sorry. Even though I know it was a Scorsese cartoon, mm-hmm, I don't care about it. Yeah. Midnight in Paris, more Frenchies.
Owen Wilson. Mm. Hello. Hi, Kevin. For the French.
Je suis épicerie.
Paca, paca. Mm.
Je suis épicerie.
Bonjour, Monsieur Thibault.
I am. Oui?
What else
Monsieur
is on there?
Thibault. Moneyball.
Saw it.
Loved it. Loved it. You know what was great in that? Is what's the little chubby kid? He's
Jonah
not
Hill?
So chubby.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill does.
He's got a new movie out. I saw the trailer. It's pretty funny.
He's got a...
Back to the wackiness.
Yeah, I really like him. And he's got a cartoon that runs on Sunday nights on a global called...
Jesus.
I wish Christ.
Jesus Christ. What are the rest of the movies?
Just a second.
The internet's down.
No, it's...
Oh, no.
Oh, you got... No,
no, you got to redo it here. Here, see?
Look. Yeah.
Global.
Cartoon.
That's a zero on the end.
Oh, Joni... Alan Gregory.
Hmm.
And it's
about that.
It's really funny. But Jonah Hill cartoon canceled.
Gone.
Anyway, it's a really funny cartoon. Go back and check it out. The Tree of Life, also for Best Picture. No
never
idea.
Heard of it.
Never even heard of it. I do enjoy movies about trees, though, I must say.
Yes, I like movies about life.
I enjoy movies about two things, trees and life. And maybe some, you know,
titty. Bust.
Are there tits in the movie, Tree of Life?
Tree of Life, is that there's some sort of double meaning thing?
I don't know.
Oak boyfriend.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Wood.
Yeah.
Life,
boyfriend.
Wood. Life comes from wood.
Life
the guy's
is wood.
What's the next one?
It's metaphorical.
So according to Humble Thread, that movie should have been called The Cock of Life.
Where's the caca?
And War Horse.
Oh, yeah.
Which looked good. That's the horse that goes to war, and they runs through the World War One, and, you know.
Oh, I thought that was Camilla. That movie was about Camilla Bowles.
Wow. Parker Bowles.
Holy crap. Wow. Yeah. Well, so Iron Lady's not on there. That's good, because that movie sucked.
Actor in a leading role, Damien Bichir.
Whoa.
Bon, bon. George Clooney. Jean, too many Frenches. Jean Dujardin.
What?
Gary Oldman, who's an awesome actor.
Love him.
Really like him. And Brad Pitt. It's weird now they have expanded the Best Picture to 10 categories, but directing only 5. And same with actors and actresses.
Hmm.
You know what never gets nominated? Anything really good. Anything you go to and go, wow, that was a really funny movie. Or I really enjoyed that. That never gets nominated.
Well, Moneyball did.
Okay, outside of that.
Step Brothers wasn't nominated?
I love Step Brothers. Freaking love that movie.
Well, the thing is about Step Brothers, I found the first like half an hour hilarious, and then it sort of fell off the table.
Yeah. I love them when they're being interviewed for the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't recreate it, but I just love that scene. Mm-hmm. Also love the scene when they make the bunk bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What chicks are...
Chicks are people, too.
What chicks are nominated?
Chicks are people.
Chicks are people.
Viola Davis, never heard of her. Rooney Mara, never heard of her.
Oh, she's great. She's from the Dragon Tattoo. She's the Dragon Tattoo.
See, there's a movie I wanted to see and never did.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep, of course, gets nominated whether she does a movie or not. She just
But she was great in that.
And you enjoyed that movie?
No, I hated the movie,
okay,
but her performance was great. The story sucked. They didn't build it very good as sort of like a biography. So, but she was excellent in the movie, but the actual movie wasn't so good.
Michelle Williams, I don't know who she is, but I suspect she's excellent.
Beautiful.
And what movie was she in?
I just know that she's beautiful.
All right. All right. And Glenn Close played a guy in some movie, or she plays... What is she nominated for?
No,
I thought she's. Maybe she's playing a guy in this TV series.
We got to watch more movies.
It's funny how this.
We're busy doing a podcast, Pete.
It's funny how this show unfolds, because we had a conversation this morning that we're going to get right to some stuff.
Yes,
and you know, and
we're getting right to it now.
Be very economical with it, and get right to the stuff we wanted to talk about. And guess what? the Oscars wasn't part of it. It wasn't.
Let's talk about this then, mister.
Okay.
You've spoken about your alma mater, Seneca.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what they could not have known when you were a broadcast student is just what a prolific and articulate writer you have turned out to be with your blog, Canadian Thinker. And now on humbleandfredradio.com, you can see a little article that Fred wrote that I thought was awesome about angry white men.
Yeah, I was reading an article. Steve Couch, who was once the program director of CFRB, wrote an article about two announcers at KFI Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Who referred to Whitney Houston as a crack hoe, and they were suspended. Anyway, within this article,
yeah,
Couch refers to KFI, the radio station, where our good friend Bill Carroll works. He says, then again, this is just an angry white man station. And I hate that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate that phrase, angry white men. Number one, what does that mean? What is that? And would you say that about any other race? Is it just white men that can be angry? Because I've heard that term. I've even had that used against me on Canadian Thinker. Oh, he's just an angry white guy. Why? Because I have a point of view. I have a position based on who I am, where I've come from, what I'm all about.
And maybe it's because you're an angry white man.
Maybe
you are.
But that it's but I don't think you can generalize. I don't think you can stereotype that way.
Well, your point was that you would never say that he's an angry Asian.
No.
He's an angry black man.
Or if there was a black station in Toronto, would we say, oh, that's an angry black man station? We wouldn't think of it.
Although, you guys know, more than once in my career, I've been called the angry Jew from Moose Jaw.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Jokey joke. Okay, sorry, go back to being articulate.
No, that's... And I was very disappointed in that, because Mr. Couch, I think he teaches, and he's got an online school or whatever the hell it is. And
yeah.
You know, he's teaching people, and I'm just surprised that someone of his apparent stature would use that term.
Well, especially because he was the program director of the Angry White Man station in Toronto.
Yeah, I guess at the time.
He was.
And, you know, he was Bill Carroll, who's now at KFI, the farthest thing I would say from an angry white man, because you have a point of view and you just happen to be a white guy and you take issue with us. It's such a shitty default. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's just an angry white guy. Fuck you. I'm an angry white guy. I got an opinion, just like anybody else does. But again, often that's used to shut down debate.
Mm-hmm.
You just, you know, as soon as you play that race card thing, you know, it tends to shut down debate.
Well, and I think you're right in a lot of points there. The fact that you would never use another race. You could never use another race as a reference. You could never say the flow is just a station filled with angry black people.
No.
You couldn't.
No.
Whether you thought it or not. But, you know, I say the irony of Steve's, point about those guys at KFI is that, you know, whether even though the station 1010, and you make this point too, is way better than it was when he was programming it.
Just
leaps and bounds.
Mike Ben Dixon's done a great job.
Amazing. Yeah. And we're not just kissing his ass. We really like the, mm-hmm. I mean, we both have commented.
Well, I've become a listener now.
We love the station, and I'm a listener, and, mm-hmm. and it's leapt ahead of, you know, 640, which, you know, had a chance to mm-hmm. kind of go in a direction. Anyway, the point is how he would say that when he was at the time, that was the place to go for angry white talk.
Yeah.
It was.
I mean, again, if you want to use that hook, sure. It was. It was a destination for a lot of older white men, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Who, I guess, you could say a lot of them were hangry, I guess. But that's an individual thing.
Anyway,
a lot of people that weren't angry listened as well. So.
Yes, I want to make mention, though, that you should go to the site. Lots of people are raving about humbleandfredradio.com.
Oh, that's beautiful.
2.0. Mm-hmm. Version 2.0, which is getting rave reviews.
Good.
Although we got to get Mikey Cuno to fix that Facebook thing in the middle there, because it looks a little bit weird.
It does look weird. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway,
he's on it.
Freddie's comment is on the right hand side. It says "Humble and Fred" and another thing, and there's some other interesting points that the Fred man makes on Steve Couch and his whatever.
I entitled it "Asleep on the Couch."
Oh,
love
my
it.
God!
Love it.
That's why the bust.
Gold.
That's why the bust. Gold.
Pump the bust.
Really?
That's okay, gold.
Silver.
No, there's more.
That's bronze. That's bronze.
The gold is in the article.
Oh, okay.
That is not the gold. Okay. Maybe a gold star.
And
gold star. Not the gold.
And let's be upfront. we have invited Steve Couch to be on the show. I sent him a little note, and I didn't hear back. Response? So, no response. So, if he wants to come on in and debate this, hey, no hard feelings. It's just I disagree with you on this point, Stephen.
Angry Jew and Fred.
It's like the Angry Jew and Fred show.
One Jew, one angry white man from Brampton.
What did I say to you this morning? He sent me a note. He said, "You know, what do you think of the? what do you think of it?" And I said, "Post it, angry." Brampton man. Post it. Look at me.
I just, yeah, I'm just posted over with anger.
I know you are.
Angst.
Simmering.
Simmering.
Angry white man. I don't know if you, across the country or wherever you listen to this show, heard about the Graham James apology. Graham James, the hockey coach that was convicted of being a pedophile, really. He was was it pedophilia?
Oh,
exactly. Was it
calculating?
He was awful. Oh, yeah. Some of the was he the coach of what's his name? I know Sheldon Kennedy, but what's the other guy?
Theo Fleury.
Theo Fleury. Thank
Theo
you.
Theo Fleury.
And what was the occasion yesterday to apologize?
Well, because it was pre-sentencing, so he hasn't been sentenced. He could get up to 6 years, apparently. And I think Theo read another victim statement, if I'm not mistaken, and this guy apologized.
So Sheldon, wasn't Sheldon Kennedy on the all over the radio yesterday? I thought.
Yeah, he was there, too.
Okay.
Yep. So, you know, but Graham, he offered an apology, so everything's fine now.
We
can all move on.
Him.
You know, I mean, really, Theo and Sheldon, they should forget about it now because he did apologize.
It's the last reason.
What more do you want?
Yeah, I don't even
fucking
understand.
Makes me sick.
Well, the thing is, if he can only get up to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me a bit of a waste because really, is the apology from him coupled with a rehabilitation or is there any been? I mean, how do we know if he's?
They say the pedophiles cannot be rehabilitated. I mean, that's a debate, but I mean, there's a lot of people are of that thought that you cannot be rehabilitated.
And then maybe 6 years, is that going to keep him from doing it again? Well,
no.
I'm sorry, you wanted to make a point, Kunga.
That was exactly
clitoris litoria. Yeah.
Clitori.
Yes, what's your point?
No, that was my exact point, is that sitting there for 6 years, he's just going to come out and he'll think differently?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Stupid.
No. Neuter.
Yeah. Just have him castrated and shot.
Here's the thing. I don't want to get into debate about, you know, the death penalty, although here, just follow me where I'm going. I don't know if 6 years is long enough for him, and I don't think life is the right sentence for someone like Bernardo or the... who's the guy up west, Clifford Olson?
Yeah.
And the reason I say this is because on the one extreme, we're going to basically, all of us in this room and listening to this podcast in Canada, will be paying part of our taxes, you've heard me say this before, mm-hmm. for the rest of our lives, mm-hmm. some piece of whatever money you earn will go to be keeping Paul Bernardo alive. And because there's no chance he's ever going to get out, or do we care if he's rehabilitated, then why don't we just kill him? And save us all a lot of... See, if you want to put someone in there for life, put Graham James in there mm-hmm. for life. Because mm-hmm. he's not... If what you say is true, he can't be rehabilitated. Then let's not have him wandering around right. trying to poke little boys.
Well, here's the other side of that. When I think of Paul Bernardo, I mean, from my own selfish reason, I think death would be too easy for him. I love the fact that he's got to sit in that cell for the rest of his life. But from a cost standpoint, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm Carla, or if I'm Kristen French's parents, I want the bastard dead. A guy like Graham James, I mean, some could argue that's, a mental illness. Neuter the bastard. Just literally cut his balls off. Like, why not? What's the big deal?
Now, do you spade or do you neuter?
You would neuter a man.
Yeah. You don't spay a man.
You don't spade?
No. You would have spayed Carla Hmalka.
Oh, okay.
But
I think we should do both. Spade and neuter him.
Spay.
Spay.
Spade is the path. If you spade him, it means you hit him over the head with a shovel.
Well, let's do that, too.
Let's spade him.
I like that.
Let's hit him over the head with a shovel. And when he puts his hands up to grab his head, you kick him in the nuts.
Neuter him.
Chop him up and feed him to the pigs.
Oh, my God.
You can share a cell with Sandusky.
But the thing is... Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Thank you. What's
Clifford Olson?
No, thank you, Hannibal Patterson. Chop him up and feed him to the pigs.
Anyway,
they find Canty.
If you're going to chop somebody up and feed them to the pigs, it should be him. Yeah. The thing is about Graham James too. Even if he ends up with the max, which I'm pretty sure is 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, for the victims. Mm. It's way more than 6 years of angst.
I know. It's a lifetime of
your
depression
trouble.
And
yeah.
all sorts of things. You're affected forever. Here's what I think we should do. Mm. We'll put him in a cell after we spayed him in the head and then kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
We should continue to do that.
You know,
every other day, you smack him on the head with a spade. He goes like this. Ow, ow. Yeah. You kick him in the nuts.
That could be your message like Bob Barker's at the end. Yeah. Have Graham Jade spaded and neutered.
Yeah. Spaded, neutered, and kicked in the nuts.
Every evening before bed.
For 6 years, though, the very least is she'd be in a cell with no other sound than this.
I'm a pedophile hockey coach. I have my own unique approach. I'm a pedophile hockey
coach. By the way, just in case you're curious, yes, it's a pedophile parody song. Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
I'm a pedophile hockey coach. I have my own unique approach. I'm a pedophile hockey coach. In cell. My system, I change the lines. If you don't put out, you'll be right in the pines. I'm a pedophile hockey coach.
Maybe after the series, pedophiles.
I fell out of favor with Grapes Don Cherry, but that's okay. I hear his bum's cute and hairy. I'm a pedophile.
Now, when we did this at the Edge, how was it received?
Oh, boy.
I thought it was... We think it was fun, but at the time...
Was it shut down?
What shut down?
The song. We just played now? It? No.
Oh, no, I just...
At the Edge.
I think we were okay to play. I just can't remember.
Yeah, we got a lot of complaints.
We got a lot of
anger. Yes, but people misunderstood that we weren't just mocking pedophilia. We were taking a shot at this prick, saying that, you know, F you should be...
Yes, but I think...
What?
Well, they thought that we were having fun while we were directing anger at him. And you can't do that. There's many different levels of what you can and can't do, apparently.
Here's a song that we did for Alan Eagleson. We have a whole hockey comedy record here. This one is called Prick. Enjoy.
6 a.m. inside the prison. It looks like Eagleson in the dark. His body's old and kinda greasy. He'll need a shower to wash his bum. Breakfast. All the boys are watching him. Once he was a big shot lawyer. Now his girlfriend's name is Jim.
Cheated Bobby Orr. Fucking Orr. Saint.
You prick. We should get him on the show.
He's a prick and let's drown him slowly.
Hall of Famer, now he can't screw no one. Off in prison, now he's never lonely.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Off in prison, now he's never lonely.
Although he's out now, and that's why you should be on the show.
Eagleson.
Eagleson. Bugger.
No, that was my... when we did that, and we said, Even cheated Bobby Orr. Mm. Like, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you cheat Robert Gordon Orr? Is there any way we can get him on the show?
When I was in Peterborough, he came in one day, right into the radio station. It was great. Shook his hand. Nice big mitts on him. Nice man.
You know, that's one of those things that when my mother was still alive... it would have been such a great thrill for me to have him on the show. But that would have been one of those ones where I would have called my mom and said, I met Bobby Orr. And it was weird because all the years we did the show at the Edge, there never came an opportunity to have him. But that would freak me out. And we've interviewed tons of people. Even more than Gordon Ramsay.
Right.
If Robert Gordon Orr came in here, that would be it. And I would ask him to autograph a stick for me.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. Wouldn't it be great if you could set it up that he could have taken shots on your mom?
Hey, Luba. Guess what? You get to come to Toronto.
Yeah.
He can still do it, by the way. I love Bobby Orr so much. I will dig. How far is that we're going to go with this?
No.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Mom. Bobby Orr's going to take shots on you.
On your gravestone.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
International travel, Fred, has started to increase and will only become more part of our everyday life as we all get vaccinated. Gig Sky guest of the day. Don't forget to get your Gig Sky data plans for your travel needs. Whether you're off to the tropics, heading to Europe, or just plan to make your own way down south, you'll need mobile data to keep you connected. We want you to download the Gig Sky app. It's for Android or iOS. And get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries. It's the easiest and most affordable way to stay connected internationally, whether you're pulling up directions or looking for the coolest restaurants or bars, sharing your post-COVID pics on Instagram. You will want access to this when you are traveling. All Gig Sky data plans are prepaid, no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never throttled. Download the app today. Enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan, or visit gigsky.com for more information. Gig Sky's latest service and offering includes mobile data while flying. When traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Go to gigsky.com/aeromobile to see the list of partner airlines.
Hey, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Chambers Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for small business, say 1 to 100 employees. That's what we're talking. If you've thought about a benefits package for your small business, go to chamberplan.ca today and get a free quote. I mean, it's really easy, really relaxed. You can click on, put the parameters of your business in, get an idea of what's involved, what the costs are. You'll be pleasantly surprised. 30,000 Canadian, small Canadian businesses are part of this. So it has the image of a large company so that, you know, they can keep premiums down. And they've done a pretty good job over the past few years doing that. A lot of testimonials right there on the page. You can read how this has worked for other small companies, what it has meant to their employees, and how doable it is. Again, chamberplan.ca, that's where to go. We're talking prescriptions and dental and all sorts of therapies if you buy into certain levels. It really is fantastic. It's simple to sign up. It's stable. They've been around 40 years. Come on. And the smart thing to do for your people, take the time today, chamberplan.ca.
This is Humble and Fred.
You want to do the Obama thing, or should we talk? Should we leave? Is Jim McKinney here?
Apparently.
Is where?
Just outside.
Okay, well, let's get Jim
because,
on
Because, you
show.
Know, time is waning because the Arkells or Arkells are going to be here at 11:30.
Well, listen, we can leave. The Obama thing can wait. Is Jim here? I don't think he is. Yeah, Bob's going to say, but Bobby Orr is one of those ones that I would have been, would have freaked me out to have him actually walk in the door. But here's a guy that a lot of people are going to be pretty excited to hear.
No, absolutely.
From.
In fact, I think there was some brief moments early in his career when he was compared to Bobby Orr. Is that not right, Jim McKinney?
Oh, wait. Were you not compared to Bobby Orr? Of course you were.
Get a water.
Okay, well, sit down and we'll get you water.
You just sit.
Stop the street.
We get people, we have people to get you water. You know, Jim McKinney played when it was a man's game.
Yes.
When the NHL was where men were playing. There wasn't a bunch of nowadays almost anybody can make the NHL. When McKinney played, here, why don't you sit over there, bud? When McKinney played, he was a superstar. It took him like 4 or 5 years to make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Imlach had to get fired.
Yeah, there were only like 6 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was first there. And then there was 12 and another 12 in the expansion.
Let's get right on that, Mike. Jimmy,
Former Maple Leaf, also played briefly for Minnesota. He has spent a long time as a big personality in Toronto on city television. Say hi, Jim McKinney, everybody. Jim.
Yes.
You know, when we put this little puppy together, you were right near the top of the list of guys we wanted to have in here.
I understand that, because I was just driving down the Gardner, and they said somebody canceled and get over here. And I had to make a U-turn, but I'm flattered that I was near the top anyway.
Yeah, we had a list, and you were on it.
Yeah, and that's okay.
We got Martineau in here first. We got the pretty boy out of the way.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Now it's all
good
about
hair?
Substance.
Was that, how was
oh
the hair? Was
his
the
hair is good? Ridiculous.
Just perfect.
You want to touch it.
The
you
helmet.
It's almost impossible not to touch that man's hair.
Yeah, but he's a good-looking man, and he's still working. You know,
I
don't know, that forever. That guy, he's going forever.
Yeah, his contract lasts literally until his last breath.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's the way the girls like it. He's got two daughters, two teenage daughters, and the wife, and she's down playing tennis all the time in Sarasota. So,
really,
Gord's got to work. Yeah. He's got to. You got to work.
He's got to make huge TV money by now, though. He's got to be making crazy city TV.
I don't know what the number is.
It's
he
huge.
Never did share that with me, but I know it was a lot more than I was making.
And
you know. A lot.
But again, who could replace
But I
Gord?
Mean, he's good.
Oh, sure he's
I was
good.
Just sort of hanging around.
No, you were good too.
I thought I was good, but then after I was got gassed, I mean, you'd think somebody would call, but nobody called.
Yeah.
That's the thing about you in this market. Some of us know you as a hockey player and a sportscaster. Some maybe just as a hockey player who never watched City. And some know you just as a sportscaster.
And the lucky ones don't know me at all. that's like, who's Jim McKinney?
Yeah.
My
Those
wife's
poor
asking.
Poor bastards.
So they are. Yeah.
You make an interesting point, though, because when people hear, you know, morning show guys and TV guys in a market, they think, oh, you know, you'll have no trouble getting a job because everyone knows you. You've been doing it for so long. But as we have found, you know, there has to be a job for you, and at the right time. You know, we've been fired twice now in the last 6 years.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
No, well,
you got the package and all that kind of thing.
Well, not the second time. That's why.
No, really,
we're podcasting now, Jim. How good can it be? Look,
this
around
is
you.
Good. I saw that. Yeah, I saw the article in the paper. I said, "Geez, what a brilliant idea! Do you make any money doing that?"
Well, we're trying,
and you do.
Mm-hmm. We'll make some.
We're doing
you
know, all right.
Yeah, you got a nice place here.
Well, thank you.
It's sort of it's tucked away.
Yeah, yes, it
you
is.
You know, it's not your young. And bluer or anything,
no.
But I mean, it's a good area
town,
here.
Jim, where shit's going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got the MasterCard Center in the neighborhood here and Lakeshore High School.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, some other stuff, too. Yeah.
We're happy with it.
I just mentioned a couple.
We got the space, and we've done all we can with it. And, it is. It's comfortable.
No, it's good.
Jim,
yeah.
It's convenient for us because we do the podcast, then we cook us some nice meth. And so this is a nice.
Yeah.
A
fabulous. And you can sleep over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, if the wife gets a little tired, as they do on occasion,
right.
You could stay here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we do. We have a couch.
Oh, there we go. That's crucial.
You know, you said we were talking about your time in the NHL, Original Six, and then the money of a man like Gord Martineau. Before you came in, I was asking Fred, I said, you know, in those days that Jim played, you know, in the late 60s into 78, I believe is your last year, are you comfortable or would you mind telling us what kind of numbers hockey players, maybe yourself, what was your...
Well, we're not supposed to disclose that, as you well know.
Oh, yeah, because you never hear anyone talk about money in the NHL
but
anymore.
I got six to sign 8 and 9 for my first 2 years one way.
I'm sorry, 6,000 to
six,
sign?
Six grand and 8 and 9 for my first 2 years. So I made 14,000 in, I guess, was 1966.
66 and 67.
67, yeah. A case of beer was $4.20 in those days.
Wow.
The guys on the Marlies, when I signed, they were happy. Like my buddies there, because I had a few bucks in my pocket. You know, sometimes you'd have like 100 on you. And you could go down to Greenwood Racetrack and have an afternoon there and then buy a 2-4
and then play that night.
Go get it.
That's right. Then suit up.
No, but right after the game, immediately after the game. I never drank water in the third period.
But a lot of guys, too, right,
no.
Had jobs in the off season as well. Because the
they
money
they did, yeah. I used to move furniture for my father-in-law just to bridge the gap from the end of the hockey season into the hockey schools. The hockey schools would start after the kids got out of school, so that was the end of June. So I'd have to move furniture for a couple of months or, sometimes a little longer than
playing
with the Leafs. And then... and then we'd work at the hockey schools all summer. So that was a great job. You could make a couple of hundred.
But once you were in the NHL, the 8 years you spent playing and then the last few games with Minnesota, were you then making...
Oh, the money. Oh, yeah. At Escal, I was getting to that. Yeah. So it went from 6 and 8, then... I played another year in the minor leagues, so I made like 9.5 my third year, then 10-5 when I was with the Leafs, then 12-5, 14-5, 17-5, 22-5. Then I got Eagleson. I would jump to 40-60.
Wow.
And then I hit the jackpot. It was $120 a year for 5 years because there was a bidding war for me, sort of.
Because of the WHA?
Yeah, the WHA right. came in, and then Johnny Bassett wanted myself and Ronnie Ellis the and Toronto Paul Henderson Toros. to jump to the Toros. Yeah. But actually, they could only afford one of us, and Henderson played pretty good in that Team Canada series.
Yeah, he played all right.
You know, he had a good week and a half there.
He had a good 10 days.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's going to get him into the Hall of Fame or not, but it should. He was a good hockey player on top of that.
He should be. Listen, yeah. Trechek's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, seriously. And he gave up all those goals in that series. And he's
Johnny
in the Hall of...
Yeah, Johnny McClellan said that they didn't have any goaltending.
No, I know.
That was Johnny's last year as a scout.
No, no. Yeah. But you think about it. Because Vladislav Trechak, down the stretch there, the last few games, gave up those goals to Henderson, who scored them. And Trechak's in and Henderson's not. It just doesn't seem fair because Trechak has no track record in the NHL. At least Henderson does.
No.
It's bullshit. Don't you think?
Well,
it's bullshit.
I think Henderson should be in there.
So do I.
You know, and, you know.
Well, we talked to Paul about it, and Paul, in typical, you know, humble man that he is, sort of deferred our, you know, we got quite angry with him. We kept going, you should be. And if at one point we sounded Chinese, you should. Anyway, but the point is, I want to ask you about the time in the early 70s when the Russians were coming over. You were an NHLer. What had you heard about them, and then how surprised were you that they turned out to be that good?
Well, I knew they were pretty good. I'd played for the Team Canada, the Olympic team or something. They sent over 10 or 12 pros 1 year to play in the Izvestia tournament.
Oh, yeah.
12 guys. They didn't care if they got hurt or not. So, you know, I was one of those. And so they
said,
go over there. And it was,
go and enjoy.
It was good, yeah. All I remember about that tournament actually was their beer was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried the vodka the first night, and that was a mistake. So then we backed off to the champagne. Russian champagne is excellent, by the way.
Mm.
I think that's where all the French champagne came from.
Mm-hmm.
That was the story around the bar anyways, and we were getting magnums of it for 7 ruples, which translated was about $4.
So you don't really know how good of players they were.
No, they were pretty good. Well, I think we ended up winning the tournament, though.
Boy, did you ever gravitate to booze quick?
I might as well go to your strength, you know, early. I just got in the door, I asked for water, and you know, that's what I'm on now.
Yeah.
That's how boring my life's gotten. A little green tea now and then.
So you had a sense that they were pretty
good. I knew they were good, and then the story behind that whole thing was Lloyd Percival had offered his training techniques to the NHL, and the NHL said, "Now you're a track and field guy. What's he know? You know, piss
Isn't
off."
That
so
something?
Then he sold it to the Russians, and the Russians came in top shape. Our guys had only worked out for about 5 days before they went to Quebec to that first game. They got the early lead, and then it was bombs away. And had Harlamov not got hurt in that unfortunate incident in
With
Vancouver.
Bobby.
Vancouver, they would have won all 4 or 5 games or how many games they played over in Russia. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Harlamov was the best player in the world in those days, you know, because Bobby Orr was hurt. No, I wasn't really surprised that they were that good, especially when they got real skates and everything on them, because mm-hmm. the stuff that they were wearing,
mm-hmm.
it was awful. But they came over here, and then Bauer supplied them with all the stuff, mm-hmm. and you know, they were ready to go.
You talk about only 5 days to get in shape. That was the norm back in the NHL, even in your days, right? You came to camp to get in shape. You didn't show up in shape. It was a whole different
mindset. Later. I didn't at the start. I went to my first camp at about 2:15. I could hardly walk around the block.
Right.
And, I was in the...
You were hardly a boy at Leafs camp
in
those
days.
Yeah, I was gone.
Yeah, I was gone to Tulsa, which was fine, you know, because all my buddies were playing there, Al Smith and Jimmy Keon and, you know, Jack Chip Chase, and you know, I look forward. I played there in the playoffs the year mm-hmm. before, too, so I was sort of looking forward to getting back to Tulsa, and I was making the same money anyways, and it didn't seem to me like the Leafs were having an awful lot of fun, even though they were winning Stanley Cups and all that stuff, and they did win that year, but... you know, it wasn't the end of the world. But mm-hmm. after about 3 or 4 years, I started running marathons and all that kind of stuff. I was one of the better conditioned players at training camp. A guy like George Armstrong would skate one day before training camp just to make sure his feet didn't get sore. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. You know, but he would fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was used to that. But I think all the Swedes and all those guys coming over here in top condition sort of ruined the game.
Yeah.
Because we used to be able to cruise for about a month and a half there and then, you know, sort of crank it up around Christmas time.
I want to ask you about, because you're a defenseman, and the fourth, I read this morning, the fourth leading point getter as a defenseman after Salming and Tim Horton. But playing the position you did, and I asked this because before you came in, I told everyone what a big Bobby Orr fan I was and how, you know, I imagine playing that position in those days. What was your opinion of playing against him, and how did he redefine the position, and how did you see yourself versus him?
Who, to Bobby Orr?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. He basically ruined my life, that guy, because some moron compared me to him.
That's what we were
and
saying.
The only person that really believed that was me, right? And
well, it's like Tiger. Everyone that comes along gets compared to him, and same with Nicklaus in that sport. But I mean, as a guy that played that position and against him, when you would watch him, what was it like?
Well, he was under the speed that he had, and you know, the acceleration, and another thing people forget about Bobby is he fought every guy in the league too. He fought, like, he would get steamed at someone, and whoever was coaching them at the time, Sinden, Tommy Johnson, or whoever. They just said, if Bobby gets mad at somebody, jump in and fight the guy first. Mm-hmm. At least soften him up a little bit for Bobby. And so Cashman used to do that all the time. And Bobby would even go at Cash in between periods. Leave him alone. He said, I want him. You know, Cash would say, okay, Bobby, yeah, no, don't worry. And as soon as they got out in the ice, Cash would jump the guy.
Right.
And tire him out a little bit. But Bobby would still fight him. And Bobby would block shots. He did everything. And he got hurt so early in his career. Like, he only had about 4 good years there where he had his full acceleration and his mm-hmm. speed, and that was his whole game. Plus, he could shoot the puck like a rocket. He could really shoot it.
Yeah, and his career was, what, 10 years? Was it even 10 years?
I think 76 was his last year.
So it was 66 to 76. Yet, you know... The legend and the legacy
is the
just
impact.
For 10 years is amazing.
Yeah, he was playing on one leg for 6 of those years, you know.
But here's my question, like, you know, being a fan of his at the time and seeing how he would, you know, rush the puck up the ice, start at his own end, and you'd see these end-to-end rushes. After, I guess I ask as an adult now, after a few seasons of that, didn't you all say, okay, well, we have to figure out some way to try and stop this guy? And yet, for those, as you say, those 4 great years, he was unstoppable.
Yeah, well, Johnny McClellan was our coach, and he just said, he's going to get the puck anyways, throw it in his corner, and we'll try and tire him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that after it's 6-1 or 7-1, you figure maybe we got to do something else. There was just absolutely no way to defense him, because he could pass the puck off well, too. And he had a good support cast. Like, his forwards there were amazing. He had Esposito with Cashman and Hodge, and he had...
Busick,
Sanderson, and Marcotte, mm-hmm. and they had amazing forwards. Johnny Pye was there.
Johnny McKenzie.
Know. Oh yeah,
and,
McKenzie. Turk never got on the ice. Turk was always steamed playing for Boston. He said, when you got Phil out there, you only need one other center just to give him a breather every now and then, because Phil used to play like 30 minutes a game.
Oh yeah, he wouldn't come off, would he?
No, and he'd go on the...
He didn't do anything. He just...
No, he just cruised around.
He just stood there.
Yeah.
In his big reach.
Yeah.
And he scored a lot of goals.
He could put it in.
He scored a lot of goals, like they call, you know, a lot of garbage goals, mm-hmm. you know, because he was basically that guy that sort of stayed in the slot and mm-hmm. everything. Was he a tough guy to defend as a defenseman?
Ooh, Phil, yeah, because he was like... an octopus, you know, you got great big long arms, so you take his body, his arms would still be out there, they'd get the puck into the hole, and he'd snap it all the time. You know, he scored a ton of goals,
mm-hmm.
and he was a great leader, and he was a great thing for Bobby on that team, because Phil would talk all the time, and then Bobby didn't have to do all the interviews and everything, because Phil loved doing all that kind of stuff, you know. And Phil, to his credit, brought hockey to Tampa Bay almost single-handedly. He went over and got some Japanese backing and brought back. He's employed like hundreds of players in the NHL, and he took a bunch of us over, some old timers, over to Sweden one summer, and like there was 20-25 of us. We went over to play a two-game series, and we're all supposed to get this money, and then we ended up getting stiff because they didn't have big crowds around. I hadn't seen Phil for about 10 years after that, and Phil said the first thing he did to me was apologize that we got stiff for the money. Mm-hmm. I said, Phil, forget it. It was the best trip I ever been on.
Right.
It was fantastic. But I went with my son, and I wasn't partying at the time, but my son certainly made up for it. And you know,
you referred a couple of minutes ago when you're around the Leafs, it wasn't a lot of fun. Was that was during the Punchimlack years?
Yeah, Punch was
because he was
he was pretty tough,
right?
You know, and especially on the bottom six or seven guys on the roster. The top guys were okay because they were solid and mm-hmm. they were going to be there. But he had 15 or 20 guys in the minor leagues that could play just as well as the last six on the roster of the Leaf team. So if you were screwing around or you didn't do what you were told, you were gone the next day. You know, and they bring tough. Another guy up in the from the minors, and the guy would probably score like right. five or six goals and be there, and you'd lose your job.
And there was a lot of threats too, right? If you asked for more money, they.
Well, yeah, you weren't allowed to tell anybody else on the team. If anybody knew what you were making, what you were actually making, you were gone. Because that was a security breach.
Yeah.
We have a band coming in here. The Arkells are going to be playing in a little bit. Jim McKenney's our guest. I just have a couple of things. Fred and I were talking about, you played in the NHL with no helmet. What was that?
No,
like?
But I had good hair then, so I didn't really care.
You have a nice skull.
Know, that was the
I
gotta
whole tell you
thing,
that, man though. To man, you have a nice skull.
But what do you think of all this now, Jim? You guys played without helmets. I think you put one on right at the end, didn't you, of your career or not?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. But you played, and were guys getting concussions, and they just didn't know?
No,
is
but
that
it wasn't as fast. It wasn't really as fast.
Or strong. Fred, yeah, or,
yeah the way that they hit now and the speed of the game. If you watch the games, if you watch our old games on the Leaf channel.
Leafs
I think
TV.
They're on Leaf TV. They're on every once in a while, and my mother watches them religiously.
Oh.
And I said, how can you watch that crap? I said, it looks like slow motion compared to what's going on today.
Even in the 72 Summit Series that we referred to, when I watched that, even that looks slow.
I think it is.
Put the Columbus Blue Jackets on against either one of those teams today, and they'd kill them.
Blow them out by five.
But yeah, Fred, is your point though that the guys didn't have helmets on? They weren't getting banged the same way they are. They weren't players weren't as big at 215 when you were saying that was your weight going to camp one year. I mean, everybody's 220, 225 now. They're a lot.
Oh, now
everyone's that big.
Yeah, then the norm was like 180, 185.
Sure.
And a guy that was 200 pounds was big.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't getting banged into the same way, and I also got a sense of, you know, that was probably the time of my life I watched the most hockey, that guys didn't, other than Gordie Howe, guys didn't carry their sticks up high, and you weren't getting a lot of that high stick, you know, stuff that you get now, because guys have head protection. Is that valid?
Yeah, in my day, if a guy's stick came up above your elbow, there'd be a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if somebody hit me above the elbow with their stick, I would have to go over and tell Kurt Walker to straighten him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would look after Kurt right after the game. But, you know, you that's the way that you basically policed yourselves. And even if there wasn't a penalty called on it, guys on the bench see those things, and there would have been a fight.
Did you say you looked after Kurt after the game?
Well, I have to look after his beer.
I was thinking the same thing.
No, I thought maybe you gave the guy ten bucks. Going on, I can assure you.
So
that I knew of, anyways.
So they are bigger, stronger, faster nowadays.
Yeah, they're the best athletes from all over the world. Like we've got the best Czechoslovakian athletes playing the NHL, the best Russians, the best Swedes, the best Finns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some a smattering of Germans and Swiss.
Yeah.
So I mean the the athletes are amazing.
Well, don't forget the Americans have gotten a lot better than they used to be.
Yeah. I mean, there used to be only
a novelty.
There used to be like six or seven Americans in the league. Yeah, and that was it. And
well, that's part of the American college hockey system where a lot of Canadians have gone and gotten to go. I guess my second question, I don't know what Fred has left, is you played in the Leafs organization at the time that a lot of people who are Leafs fans now don't remember, when the Leafs were at the pinnacle of hockey. Now, these many years later, you've seen sort of the demise in terms of their, you know, their place in the NHL. What's your thoughts, like sort of Leafs now and Leafs then?
Well, there were a bunch of things that happened, Howard, and the main one was in, I think, 68 and 69. The Leafs had four professional minor league teams. They had a team in Rochester, in Tulsa, they had one in Phoenix, and in Victoria. So they owned about 100 players outside of the Leaf roster, plus they owned the Toronto Marlboro Bros. They own the London Knights and the Verdun Maple Leafs in the Metro League in Montreal. So they had a ton of players. And it was costing them, I think, $150,000 a year to run their minor league system. And so Punch Imlach and Joe Crozier, his buddy, talked Smythe and Ballard into selling the minor league system to them. They said, well, why waste $100,000 on that? Just keep like Tulsa and then sell us all the rest of the players. So they bought those 100 players from the Leafs. And 2 years later, when the expansion came in, and then when the WHA came in, they turned around and sold all those players for like $1.5 million, which was a great business deal for Punch and for Joe Crozier, but it was disaster for the Leafs because they had no players to make any deals with.
Right.
A guy like Sam Pollock kept all his players.
That's right.
And then he traded like Billy Inglis and Ralph Backstrom to
L.A.
for their number one pick.
And that's why Montreal did so well for the
70s. LaFleur was a nice little player.
Right.
But because of Pollock, I mean, he's responsible for the many years of the Montreal teams through the 70s, continuing to be a franchise to be reckoned with.
Yeah, but he had all those players to deal. And the Leafs general manager, who was Jim Gregory, didn't have all those pawns to play with. Mm-hmm. And the Leafs were a little shy on cash in those days. I guess they were spending a little heavily on they had a private jet. So one time I got sent down to Rochester, it took them 11 minutes to get rid of me. Mm-hmm. I was in Rochester in 11 minutes from Toronto. Boom, and you ain't coming back. It wasn't a return trip.
But
it was nice being on a private jet and everything. I've never been on one before.
What about today, though? What do you think? The situation they're in year after year after year of disappointment. They've had a couple of good runs, but to see other teams sink to the bottom and then rise to the top. Some have done it two and three times since 1967. I mean, look at Pittsburgh.
But they're strong down the center. Pittsburgh's strong down the center. Right. You know, and the Leafs aren't strong down the center. When the Leafs won all those Stanley Cups, they had guys like... They had Red Kelly, who was a Hall of Famer, Davey Keon, Hall of Famer, Bob Pulford, Hall of Famer, Peter Stemkowski, off the ice, Hall of Famer. Same goes for Mike Walton. They were always very, very strong down the middle. And a good centerman can make a winger look good.
But to your point,
winger ain't going to make a centerman.
But the organization started to change, and those deals that you talked about, Crozier and Punch Imlach.
Yeah.
Are you saying that kind of set up, 40 plus years of failure?
Later, yeah.
Other than the early 90s, they really haven't had a very strong run at anything for some time.
No. And it's unfortunately, and it's difficult to go out and get a big center that can play, you know, and eat up like 30 minutes a game of Joey Thornton. And there's 14 or 15 teams in the NHL that need a big husky at center, and so they're all vying for the same product, you know, and it's difficult. And same as the Leafs trying to get Rick Nash. He'd have to be out of his mind to come here.
Yeah,
you know, I love the Leafs. They try. They work hard every game. You know, game in, game out. But they just, you know, they don't have the.
No, they don't have the horses, and I don't think they're coached very well. Before we wrap up, we've got.
Don't be knocking Willie now. Come on.
Do you think they're coached well?
Yeah, I think they. If they get a good effort every night. you got to have a pretty good coach. He's not the most personable guy, but he's right. Very well organized, and he's been around a lot. He's got got a ton of experience, so he's made the mistakes on somebody else's nickel, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're not bringing in a new guy like myself. If I couldn't do a better job than him, I really can't be knocking him, but I barely even know the names of the players. So
no, I knock him because I know I could do a better job than him.
No, yeah, absolutely.
You could?
Oh, he tells me that every day. Yeah.
But yeah. Jim, before we wrap it up, I got to ask you about, you know, you always had the reputation, even after your career, of being in great shape, seen around the city cycling and this and that and...
Yeah,
you know,
but I had a couple of heart attacks,
well,
so
that's
it sort
it.
Of
yeah,
knocked
that's what
things
I want to ask
off.
You about. What
yeah.
was that all
well,
about?
Well, at least I survived them. If I wasn't in shape, I wouldn't have survived them. And it was that hot yoga anyways.
Do you think that's so?
Yeah, it was right
well,
after
the hot yoga gave me the heart
the
attack?
The hot yoga,
I've
yeah.
done the hot yoga. I'm never doing it again.
I love it. Yeah,
no, I do too. I actually,
you will go back anyways, even though you'll take a chance.
So you were
except
in Florida.
Because you like the heat and you like the scenery.
Yes, you do.
The scenery gets you there, and then the pain starts and... You know, it's every man for himself, but it's an amazing, amazing workout.
I get an upward boner.
Bingo.
What was that? Weren't you in Florida when you had your first one?
No,
something?
I was in Jamaica. I had to get flown out. That was an adventure. Right?
So what did that feel like when you were having a heart attack?
Yeah,
well,
it
just sort of, I started throwing up and stuff. I thought I had, indigestion or something. So somebody came over. I was at Trial. I was going to be playing golf that afternoon. I was all pumped up for it. And I just done a yoga class, and I was just firing up a big Cohiba. And then this thing started. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so I wasted a cigar. For starters,
why were you smoking a cigar in Jamaica?
Maybe it wasn't a cigar. Maybe
I was off. I was clean and serene by then. I'm about 25 years clean now,
okay.
Fred. But there was a time.
Yeah, but pot doesn't count, does it?
I wouldn't. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't even know when I was having the heart attack. You know? Yeah, man. Yeah, let's tee it up. Yeah,
plus, Trial is an awesome golf course.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
Of it,
I played a couple of holes the night before, and then but they had to fly me out, and the ambulance came. And then the guy ran down from the gate at Trial and said, don't take him to the hospital, whatever you do, take him to the Half Moon Clinic. That move right there probably saved my life, because they would have tried something at the hospital, because mm-hmm. they can't do angiograms and they can't do angioplasty. So if anybody's got a heart problem, stay off the islands, because mm-hmm. all those machines are worked off alternating current, not direct current, and that's all they have on the islands. So,
wow.
So you got to get flowing out or you got no chance.
So you started throwing up, and again, it's of interest to any man over 40. You started throwing up. When did you start to feel discomfort, or did you in the chest? Was your arm tingling? I mean,
no, it was just there was so much pain in my chest that I was just I started throwing up,
because
it was the same as like kidney stones, and I thought it might have been because mm-hmm. I'd had kidney stones before. I had no idea for about 3 hours. Then I asked the doctor. I said, "Doc, what's going on here?" Because the wives had gone off; they went to duty free somewhere. So and there was a bunch of the ladies there looking after me. So they took off, and I asked the doctor. I said, "What's going on with me here?" And he says, "You're having a heart attack." I said, "Oh, a little one?" He said, "No, it's massive." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "Yeah." He said, "You know," I said, "like I could die at any time?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, that's
nice." Shitty.
I said, "When's that plane getting here?" He said, "Whenever."
So they take you to the clinic, and they immediately call for an air ambulance or
they had to organize all that. You have to pay for the air ambulance, and you need two pilots and a nurse and a
doctor size of
plane to go with
it?
You. The plane, it was a little jet.
Okay.
It came way
and
later.
Did your insurance cover that?
Yeah, it did, but I had to pay cash for it first. So my buddy Murray Merkley, who used to be, he was in the hat business. He was his wife had his credit card. He ran his business off the credit card, so she charged $70,000 onto his onto his Visa card.
Okay, I hope he had air miles.
He was doing a trade show out in Edmonton. Somebody they called him on his cell phone and said that his wife had just spent $70,000 US on his Visa. He almost had a heart attack himself.
But there was no money.
Oh, yeah,
Nobody left for him.
No one's flying him anywhere. Yeah. So after a while, when I finally got back to Toronto and all the smoke cleared, the Waters family paid the hospitals, and then we got it all back off the insurance company, off to Chardon, and it was all great. And Murray got a ton of air miles. So yeah, everybody.
We go back to you. You tell the doctor. The doctor says, Jimmy, you're having a massive heart attack. Did they give you something for the pain right away?
No, they didn't give me any pain stuff and no water. The first thing I wanted after the angiogram was a Coke, and they just left me there.
Well, wait a second. So in Jamaica, they can't give you any water.
And you've got no water. No.
So for 3 hours before the plane.
How long? 17.
You were heart attacking for 17 hours.
17 hours.
That's bullshit.
Well, there was nothing I could do about it. It was beyond my control.
Did they not make you comfortable?
They had some stuff that would open my heart up a little bit, but they were running out of those pills. The guy said, I only got two left, and this was at about 4 p.m, and then I had to hang on till about 11 at night. It started in the morning, so then they gave me those, and I think a couple of times I actually went over to the other side, but I didn't really care at that time because, you know, I was good to go. Yeah, and then they just wheeled me out to the airport at 11 o'clock at night, and we flew over to South Miami Hospital, which is the heart and stroke capital of the world, and they took care of me in a second. This Dr. Krakauer came in at about 1 o'clock in the morning and had a look at my charts and said, I can do this one. My eyes closed. I said, I've been 17 hours here, Doc. Maybe leave one open. Let's make sure on this one.
Squinting?
Yeah, good. And he did like four or five of them that day, these angiograms where they show you how the thing goes up in, in through
my
your
dad
groin.
Had one,
and, it's neat. You can sort of see it all. And
it's really neat if you're still alive and you need one.
If I would have had it at Young and Bloor, I mean, I would have been out. You know, the day after.
Golf
and I know it would have been 100%, but now half my heart's dead.
As soon as you had the procedure, though, did the pain go away?
Oh, yeah, right away. Immediately.
Wow.
Immediately. All I was is thirsty. I was waiting for my Coke, and they left me there. I had nothing to drink. You know, I got water like about an hour later.
Here's a question for you, though, because a lot of Canadians that travel out of the country often worry about being stuck with that bill. Why, once you've got the pilots in the jet and it's, I guess, from Jamaica to Florida be an hour and a half, to Toronto would have been maybe three and a half hours.
Yeah, I think that's what the play is. If I would have got a hold of my insurance company, they would have sent a plane down from Montreal and then tried to fly me back to Ontario, OHIP country. You know, but I said, like, what if I have some kind of attack over Atlanta or something? They said, we'd just put it down there.
Right.
I said, you'd be putting more than that down. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd both be gone.
So when did
I was lucky. I had the money and got it done.
When did you have the second heart attack?
The second one happened at a hot yoga class. It was moksha. It wasn't Bikram.
I've done the moksha class.
Yeah, the moksha is a little softer than the Bikram.
Is it really? And the only thing I've heard about the Bikram is they do it on carpet, and I don't want to have any part of the sweaty carpet.
Oh, come on. No, the sweat's good.
I know the sweat's good. At least at moksha, they do it on a hard floor.
They do.
And you're sitting there in your own.
The other ones are an hour and a half, though. It's an hour and a half at Bikram.
It,
yeah.
Moksha has one series that's an hour long. I've done it.
Yeah, which is nice, you know, which is good. And you'd get in good enough shape probably doing moksha. So where were we?
You were at the second heart attack was at
the second one was at moksha yoga. Yeah, and I have a defibrillator on, which is very attractive when I'm in a bathing suit. Chicks are all over me when they see that. It's like a small pack of Camels.
Like a robo.
Does it vibrate?
So I was in a eagle pose.
Sure.
The eagle pose, and I sort of felt like I was losing it, but being an old druggie, it was sort of a nice little buzz, you know? It was sort of building and building, and then boom, this thing goes off in my chest, and I said, holy Christ, I just said to the instructor, I think I gotta go.
Really?
And I just went in and had a shower, and then I drove myself over to Sunnybrook, and I was in there for 3 days. But it worked good.
Did you recognize it as a heart attack right away?
Well, I did. With this thing going off, it's like getting kicked by a horse. So it knocks your heart back into sync. So I asked the doctor the next day. I said, what's going on? He said, well, your heart was racing at about 250. I said, well, what if I didn't have the defibrillator on? He said, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. You know. So they're good little units.
Great story.
Listen, yeah. Jim, we would love for you to come back. And there's so many.
Well, I'm busy. I've got Labor Day coming up, but I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that's right. When you come back, we can talk about the city TV chapter.
Well, exactly.
You were fired from there.
They gave me a termination contract. I had to. Oh. I asked for clarification. Well, does that mean I'm fired? The guy said, "Yeah." I said, "Perfect." Yeah, the way it was good. Yeah.
So, as I was saying, we'd love you to come back. Yeah. We have a group here waiting to come on and just say, you know what? What a great time to and nice to see you again, and all the best and continued good health. You look great.
Yeah, good. We're going back golfing. I'm off to Hilton Head.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
We did the math. We put you at 66. You look great for 66.
Okay, right. Good. Yeah, 65.
But, oh, 65. But, oh, okay.
I get the free bus tickets now and all that kind of stuff. Oh, they're beautiful.
Jim McKinney's got hockey player hands. Look at the size of your freaking mitts, eh? Mm-hmm. Are you a good player, good golfer?
Fair. No. Fair. I'm a 6.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Well, that's
yeah,
pretty
playing
fair.
To a 12. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
a lot
okay.
of that out there.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. You're a 6, but you get 12 shots. Nice.
I like that.
Nice. Yeah. Jim McKinney's taking money off everybody. Jim McKinney, everybody.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
Tim Niblett, portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Timmy's your guy. You want to build some wealth? Talk to Tim Niblett. If you have an existing portfolio, want somebody to have a second look at it, make sure you're on the right track. He's the guy. He's done that for many Humble and Fred listeners. And, you know, there's no pressure with this guy. If you're on the right track, he'll tell you. He'll look at you. He'll look you in the eye and say, hey, your guy's doing a good job. You don't need me. But there's always the flip side to that. He could have a look and go, wow, we can do better than this. And a lot of Humble and Fred listeners have come over to the Tim Niblett side. And you want to talk about testimonials. They've been fantastic. But you got to get to know Tim Niblett. He's a wonderful, level-headed, calm man, the type of guy you want in charge of your wealth and your potential wealth. Tim Niblett, the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
When it comes to keeping track of your health, many people are already using wearable devices. I am, Fred is. I got the health gauge. A lot of people are trying to track their steps, and that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but if you're also looking to track blood pressure, oxygen saturation, heart rate, pulse wave velocity, activity levels, calories burned. Freddie even was setting up, he set up the health gauge so that you can be notified if somebody's texting you. It's all there at healthgauge.com. And the promo code, of course, HumbleFred15 for 15 points off. And some of our HundyPs and Patreon friends are availing themselves of this amazing device. The data can be sent to the cloud. You can share it with your healthcare providers. You know, one of my favorite things to do every day is to see how much sleep I have. You know, 7.0 hours. Didn't feel like it. But, you know, I felt like I didn't get enough sleep. Anyways, it's really quite the wonderful, you know, it's one of those things. I never had a Fitbit or one of the other things, but I now feel like I'm going to golf today, which I do occasionally. And one of the things I look forward to is seeing at the end, how many steps am I taken. So it's not only steps, but all the other things as well. Go to healthgauge.com, as I mentioned, and check out the Health Gauge Phoenix and get a nice little 15% bump from the price. Okay? I know a lot of people hear this show and they're like, wow, man, they got a lot of cool sponsors. I wonder if Humble and Fred have anyone that specializes in providing accurate, reliable utility information and professional insight to help infrastructure project owners. Well, as a matter of fact, we do. T2 Utility Engineers specializes in services to reduce the risk of existing underground and above ground utilities on infrastructure's construction projects. Dan, did you hear that? T2 Utility Engineers provide accurate, reliable utility information and years of experienced insight to help clients reduce risk and avoid costly problems and safety issues during construction. Look them up. They've been leading the subsurface utility engineering industry, supporting big projects like the light rail systems across Canada
They've been doing that since 2002. And the website, T2UE.com. We manage and mitigate utility risk. There you go.
This is Humble and Fred.
We're going to, it would be great to have Jim do the promo, eh? I'm sorry, we're not really playing a song. I was going to say, it'd be great to have Jim do the promo, though.
Oh, right. Yeah, it would be. Well, couldn't.
Why don't we do this?
Right, okay.
Let me find a song. Actually, Pete, before we get the Arkells in here, let's get Jim McKinney to do the promo. Yeah, in fact, turn the lights on now, because we're going to get the, shoot some stuff here. See the size of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember you and I had we had a hockey player in, goalie for the Leafs, old time goalie.
His Johnny era. Bauer.
Johnny Bauer.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember shaking his hand.
Yeah.
And my hand. I have a pretty big hand.
Mm-hmm.
My hand got lost in his hand. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Johnny Bauer's frickin' hands were ridiculous. Hey guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Pete, here's what we'll do. We'll get McKinney. Let me start this up again, and then Jim will do the promo. That would be awesome.
Sure, if that's easier for you guys.
And then we're going to get the Arkells.
We don't have any cables with us, unfortunately.
It's all right. We don't need cables. We need no sticking cables.
What are we doing?
I'm just trying to get the... hey, Jason, can you tape Jim's doing the promo over there?
Kind of like directional.
Can you shoot it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Jim, basically we get... all you do is just say, hey, I'm Jim McKinney, on with Humble and Fred today. Also, Arkells and Humble and Fred talk about some other bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what we're going to hear. We're going to hear Jim McKinney in the background in a second. Mike DeAngelis and Max Kerman. Hey, dudes, that's Jim McKinney.
No.
Played for the frickin' Leafs, eh?
Would you guys remember him as a hockey player? No, he was... No.
As a famous person.
Yeah, well, he was a city TV sports guy for years, right?
Yeah.
Of course so.
Yeah.
But, dudes, check out his frickin' hands. He's got, like, old-time hockey hands. Like, seriously, mm-hmm. He would kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy played against Bobby Orr.
Did you need a hand there?
Fourth leading defensive point getter for your Toronto Maple Leafs.
In Leaf history.
In Leaf history.
Now, are you guys Leaf fans?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Jim McKinney behind Boreas Salming, Tim Horton, and Ian Turnbull. So, you guys ready? Just go ahead and do it. And we'll just play a little musical bullshit in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to get Arkells on. People say the Arkells or just Arkells. You know,
whatever's grammatically correct in the sentence works for us.
Okay.
Jim McKinney, ex Leaf and ex broadcaster, ex everything, actually. And I guess I'm here to welcome Humble and Fred back to. What is it?
HumbleandFredRadio.com.
Radio.com? Yeah. Like it or not, they're back. They're good.
You had fun today?
Huh?
You had fun today?
I had a ball today. I had a wonderful time. They talked about me the whole time.
And the Arkells.
Arkells.
Yeah. And the Arkells are here.
The Arkells certainly are here. Yeah. So they'll pick things up after I put the show into the
Thanks, Jim.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Nothing
we can do.
Sorry. What's that, Pete? Scary Pete's technical wizard.
Well, the guys didn't bring cables.
That's fine.
But I can just pull. Can I pull your mics?
Pull the mics over.
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk to him first.
Yeah, we got
to
talk to these guys first.
Mm-hmm. You know, we call a feature chat.
Mm-hmm.
We have a feature chat.
Feature mm-hmm. chat.
These guys are sitting there going, I don't know who booked us on this piece of shit podcast. Please welcome to our program. Part of a group that's been doing so well across Canada, and we're happy to have them in our Humble and Fred studio. Say hello to Arkells.
Hello, Arkells.
Arkells.
You know, I said this to Jim McKinney, but it's true of you guys, too. When we first put this little project together, you were on the list of guys we wanted to have come through. So thank you for coming and legitimizing HumbleandFredRadio.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's weird. You guys are from Hamilton. And what has been a pretty interesting journey for you? I mean, it started a few years ago, and now, how do you feel about where you're at in the world of music?
Yeah, I mean, I think we didn't predict that we'd be able to tour and play to people that we aren't related to and have people sing along to our songs, and that's all been a pretty amazing experience. I think most bands will always tell you, no matter where they're at, and there's always kind of the next thing to do and the next thing to conquer, and And that's, you know, that's what's fun about it, is that we get to, you know, go up on the road. And then now we're going to be doing an American tour in the spring, and that'll be a whole another set of challenges, and we look forward to it.
That's got to be something, though. That's a great moment in your career, isn't it, when you do a live performance and the people start singing your music back to you?
Yeah.
Like, because I know that even in this business, we have certain characters or certain things we do, and people reference them, it makes you feel pretty good.
Yeah, I remember the first time we headlined a show in Thunder Bay. We had played there with Matt Mays our first time around. And then we went back and we played a club, and there was like maybe 200 people there, and we're like, is everyone here for us? And then when we played John Lennon, everyone sang the chorus, and I was like, holy smokes.
That was like the first, I think that was the first moment, that chorus and that song.
And we were so far away from
home.
Did
that freak you out a little bit?
Yeah, a big smile on our faces, really.
Yeah, it was. I didn't know if it was like a weird like thing in the venue that was making a weird echo or something like that. You're so unused to that sort of thing. So yeah, but it was definitely a thrill when it all came together in our heads.
What's interesting about that is that John Lennon probably doesn't have the profile that Hugo Chavez or Boss has, right?
Yeah, that's become sort of like a fan favorite, and we've been like closing a lot of the shows.
Well, it's
that.
A Fred favorite too, because we were going to ask.
Because when I was in Peterborough, I added that song.
You're like the only. Station that I put on the radio.
I was very cutting edge.
That's right.
Did you know that Fred was a program director in Peterborough?
Yes.
Mike DeAngelis and Max Kerman are here from R. Kells. I have a question about that response thing, though. You were saying that you're sitting there singing your songs, and I know you all of a sudden 200 people know it. What about this biggest headline set ever at the Burlington Sound of Music? So you guys were playing in front of 12,000 people.
Yeah, I mean,
what is that like? Because you guys, well, you know, at one point you're just playing in your basement. Next thing you know, it's happening in front of all these people.
It's a little surreal, but it's a lot of fun. It's just, I guess it's more of a Max question, because I just kind of get to play my guitar no matter what. Max has to deal with the people a little more than
I
do.
Yeah, no, I mean, we really enjoy it. I mean, there's a special thing about playing to like a sweaty club, and there's also a really special thing to play for a lot of people. And that was sort of like a hometown show, and it was a beautiful night. It was like right on the water in the Burlington Harbor Front. And we've had a couple moments like that where we've got to play for really big crowds. And part of it doesn't feel real, because you're just not used to it.
Mm-hmm. Like the number kind of becomes abstract too. It's sort of like when there's 2,000 people there, it's like that's pretty much all the people I can really understand seeing at one time. And then if it's like twice that many or something, it's just like, it's okay, there's still a big crowd.
What about the challenge of playing live to that many people? I know, you know, there must be some special, it must take a bit to get used to, you know, hearing the crowd or the way you have to hear yourselves or the fold back or feet, you know.
Well, the thing about our band is that we're such music fans ourselves, and we've just been stealing moves from every one of our favorite bands. So like when we were in school at McMaster, and that's where we met, like we'd go to shows at the Casbah, and I remember like seeing Joel Plaskett at the Casbah for like 150 people, and like I like literally thought he moonwalked across the stage. Like I was just so floored by how talented he was and what a performer he was. And so, you know, we steal his moves like when we play like our headline shows in the club, but we've also got a chance to open for the Tragically Hip and Sam Roberts in bigger festivals, and like those guys put on a clinic. Like there's a reason why they're so revered and why they're so adored, like, especially in Canada, is because like Downey and Sam Roberts, those are like, that's like political stuff going, like that's like Barack Obama style, like preaching to a crowd, and it sweeps you off your feet, and we're students of that, I think, and we find there's a real like artistry in playing for a lot of people, and hopefully we're getting better at it.
So who would be at the top of that list for influence with you guys, or people you follow now, or like how about the Foo Fighters?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, it's like it's the performers that still have a fire in their belly. You know, like there's some older performers that I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but like, you know, like when you go see them, there doesn't seem to be the spark that they maybe once had. But like when you see people like Downey or Sam Roberts
or Springsteen, even
Springsteen,
now,
like you see Springsteen, like I get chills watching Springsteen at the Grammys, and that's like the most, you know, corporate stale environment in a lot of ways. And like Springsteen still kills it. And like, you know, even we got to open for Metric on a tour, and Emily Haynes is
fabulous,
amazing. You know,
yeah.
So like those, the people that have a fire in their belly are the ones that we look up to.
Well, we've got the Arkells in the studio, Max DeAngelis and Mike DeAngelis and Max Kerman. We were told you guys wouldn't mind doing a couple songs.
Yeah, let's do it.
And I know, like I said, Fred's been saying, let's we got to hear him do John Lennon. You want to do that?
Oh, yeah, you got to do John
Lennon.
Sure,
let's do
right
John
on.
Okay. Do you, now we're going to do. What do you need us to do? You guys sit here. Do it up.
Let's do it up nice, eh?
Let's do it up nice.
Let's do it up nice.
Here, you guys sit there.
I see.
This is HD.
Okay.
There you go. And what are you going to do?
Okay.
What are you going to do with the microphone?
I'm just going to move these mics down so they have some control.
Yeah.
And do you want this move down, Pete?
You can move my the computer. It's fine.
Yeah, get this camera.
Well, I can't even. No, I can't move it completely.
Why not? You can't unplug it?
Well, yeah, then it's going to go.
That's all right. What, you don't think that matters at this point?
And yeah, and no soul.
Well, I'm going to need it back.
Yeah, but they're not staying all day.
All right.
And yeah, just
and when does this go? When does this go up live anyway?
2:00.
2:00. Oh, awesome. Quick turnaround time. Tweet about it. All right, let us know whenever.
Can someone film this?
Okay, so I'm going to film one, two.
Okay. That's okay.
Very
much being one
there. Okay.
We're dueling right now.
Yeah, you're doing
one
on this, too. What's that?
You want to do both?
I can't do both, guys. I can only
do
this.
I'll do this.
Okay. You guys start whenever you want.
Have you started there?
I'll do this.
Oh, there you go.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
a head on the wall. My piss hardly makes the stall. And this time it's not an act. And this time I swear it's fact. Now I ramble on about this blonde who's gone. And I try teaching her guitar. She's standing at the bar and she tells me her favorite song. And I said, yeah, that's a good one. She says it follows her around. Well, no shit, it's by the Beatles, honey. And I'm so lost. And I live just around the corner. Well, here's a thought. Just around the corner. Well, here's a thought. I get Frank McCarter at the forward. And I'm John Lennon in 67. I'm John Lennon in 67. I'm John Lennon in 67. I'm John Lennon in 67.
Yeah.
Is that song called John Lennon?
I think so.
That was great. You guys, why don't you stay here and we'll just let you get. You're already set up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I noticed. Reading up about you guys did a version of Ain't Too Proud to Beg.
Yeah,
like,
we did.
What was that all about?
No, we do a full Motown cover set. If it's a special occasion, and so we learned a bunch of Temptations tunes.
Yeah, some Stevie Wonder,
some Supremes.
Would you want to do one of those just for fun or one of your own?
I'm trying to think what would be impressive. Acoustically, the Motown tunes are a little trickier.
Did you want to do something for the new album?
Yeah, maybe we'll do a tune. Yeah, but we'll do a tune called On Paper. We'll do the AM version of On Paper. And we'll do that one. It's off the new record.
All right.
The other issue with that is that when we do the Motown set, we count on the patrons being pretty drunk.
Yeah, we're drunk.
Yeah, well,
he's drunk. I'm stoned.
Yeah, there you go.
He's high on ecstasy right now. But no shit, man.
And the reason being, and the reason being is because I don't know all the lyrics. I usually can get through the first verse and then I kind of mutter the rest and hope people are just dancing. So that's why.
So what song are you gonna do?
We're gonna play a song called On Paper.
Do it.
1, 2, 3.
Across the dance floor, I was trying to think of something to say. When I went up to your girlfriend's, I pulled you away. You were so perfectly pretty, and I could love every mistake. At the end of the night, yeah, I asked your name. And I said, Laura, couldn't ignore it. The name of my old love keeps messing me up. But on paper, I could write it out for you. On paper, I could draw you a picture. On paper, I could finish any story with any ending you please. And I saw you in my dreams in the morning. It's the only time I can remember. You were sitting at my kitchen table, no makeup on. And I thought through in through the front door. You were so happy to see you. You were telling me about everything you saw on tour. And I said, know this, I listen to your records, I'll keep you in my head, yeah. You probably got a boyfriend, but on paper, I could write it out for you. On paper, I could draw you a picture. On paper, I could finish any story with any ending you please. Now I can't keep up, always playing catch up. Talking to you right now would be too much. Ma told me I got a letter reading from you, sitting on the dresser. And I can't keep up, always playing catch up. Talking to you right now would be too much. In May 14, I got a letter written from you, sitting on the dresser. It's on the dresser. But on paper, I could write it out for you. On paper, I could draw you a picture. On paper, I could finish any story with any ending you please. Any story with any ending, you please.
Max and Mike!
Here, we're gonna reset these, we'll get you all set up again. Yeah. And that was,
you know, we've been really lucky. During our podcast history, Frederick, these last 40, or I'm sorry, 4.5 months, almost 100 shows, to have some great people in studio. You guys, thank you so much. That was Art Kells, everybody. Woo! Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I can, you know, it's funny because Fred's introduced me to a bunch of bands, and I, when I was working at Boom, I never got a chance to hear what he was programming, The Wolf, with, you know, R. Kells and some of their bands, 3 Days Grace and different. Mm-hmm. And you know what strikes me about your music and why I think you're going to have a long career is those are great songs. There's songwriting is good, and it's not just performance, is it? It's about, and I think nowadays more than ever, it really is in that rock genre about the songs.
Totally. I mean, mean, that's the most important thing for us is that we're students of songwriting, and you know, we got a chance. We covered a song by Lana Del Rey, "Video Games."
Which I love that song.
Yeah, which is a beautiful song, and some people like to rag on her because of her live performance or whatever they want to talk about. But you know, we did a stripped down version of that song, and we just put it out for free. And people said, "Oh, you know, I didn't realize that's a beautiful rendition of the tune." And and we knew that song was a song, right? Mm. At its very core, it was something that you could dress up in any way, and it's still going to be beautiful. And we dressed it up in an acoustic fashion, and people realized it just because we did it that way. But for us, the song is a song.
You know, it's funny. She got slag for her performance. So, in fact, we played. We had a friend of ours works for Universal Music and came on the show, and we talked about Lana Del Rey, and she got slag for the SNL performance. But a week later, or even less than a week,
she's on Letterman.
She was on Letterman, and
she's
killed
it. Killer.
And her performance on SNL seemed just a little bit nervous, you know, but but the song is a good tune, as you say. And is your version available online?
Yeah, you can go to soundcloud.com/ Arkells.
Arkells, okay. Yeah, and it'll be there.
It's in the hotel sessions.
Hotel sessions. We like
it's on YouTube too. Just look up Arkells.
I will.
Video games. I'm on it.
So you've are you in a position now where you're doing this for a living and things are pretty cool and you're getting comfortable and.
Yeah, it's coming along, you know. We haven't got our mansion and summer home yet.
Yeah, but the second house is on its way. Yeah,
the reason we're asking is because we're not doing that well. We would appreciate it if you guys
invest in us.
Can you invest?
No, you still got a pretty good tour schedule. And grueling. And
yeah, we're kind of almost too busy to have many bills back at home. So mm-hmm. It's sort of like that kind of situation.
Do you need any help on the road? Because we can live. That's right. Arkells be like, and we want to thank our world's oldest roadies,
Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred, here, have a listen to the Arkells and their version of
his Video Games. Hang on.
Swinging in the backyard, pull up in your fast car, whistling my name. You open up a beer, you say get over here and play a video game. I'm in his favorite sundress, watching me get undressed, take that body downtown.
I'm sorry, you're in somebody's sundress? You're not.
That's my weekend getup.
That's funny. Actually, one of the first comments is, so why weren't you guys on SNL doing this? Max and Mike, we appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us. This is great.
Arkells, look at
you. Thank you.
That shit just happened. So where did you come from? Hamilton? Were you staying in Hamilton?
We got drunk in Toronto last night.
Nice. Oh, cool. Nice. Funny, so did I. Also, thanks to Jim McKenney. What a wonderful guy. There's so much. We didn't even get to the City TV part.
No, and he's got some great stories about being a sportscaster there, I'll tell you.
Hey, I want to plug some before
we
get out of here.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
And it's for a great cause. March 3rd, the Horseshoe. It's a charity fundraiser for Music Counts, which is promotes music in schools. And we're one of the house bands, and we're going to be bringing up. And the only reason why I thought of this, because I saw your poster from Humble and Fred Fest. We're going to be doing a By Divine Right tune with Jose. We're going to be doing a Tragically Hip tune with one of the Gourds.
Nice.
We're going to be doing an Our Lady Peace tune with Jeremy. And there's a bunch of other surprises. So, I think it's about to sell out already. But yeah, you guys should be our guest of the night if you want to come down. March 9th.
I love that.
Are you kidding me? We'd love the
shit
out of that. Please be in touch if you want to come.
No, I would love to.
Okay.
That sounds fabulous.
Tomorrow on the 24th file of the HumbleAndFredRadio.com podcast, if you're fans of this show on the History Channel, Ice Pilots NWT, one of the guys, have you seen this show?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's freaking awesome. They fly these old DC threes of all around northern Canada. It's amazing. A couple of the guys from Ice Pilots on our show on the 24th. All right, there you go. That's a good little program right there, boy.
You know, it's a great program.
Yeah, man. And of course, Jason Kinga and Little Petey.
Till the day them boys come back and whip us up a new podcast. Bye-bye. So long, Humble and Fred. Everybody now. Bye-bye. So long, Humble and Fred. One more now. Bye-bye.
good.